Michigan's long contentious debate over Medicaid expansion appears to be over. The Michigan House passed a measure late yesterday, and Governor Rick Snyder says he looks forward to signing it. In the meantime, the state will continue to negotiate with the federal government on particular waivers involved in the program. Now, Jim Haveman is the director of the Michigan Department of Community Health. He says that should not be a problem.
You know, the federal government really wants Michigan to be part of this, and I think they're going to move this waiver along as fast as they can. They have certain benchmarks and timelines that they got to follow, but they're partnering with us on this.
And for now, the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta joins us this morning to explain what happened yesterday, its importance, and what lay ahead. Thanks for joining us, Rick.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark.
Remind us what these waivers involve exactly.
Well, these were conditions that the Republicans who lead the legislature said that they were not going to just go along with the Medicare expansion as it was outlined by the federal government, that they wanted to put some conditions in there. And so these are the conditions first put in by the House and then sort of amplified by the Senate action. And in general terms, it would require people who are in the Medicaid expansion program to have health savings accounts, and those would be funded through a variety of mechanisms, co-pays that they would have to pay when they go and receive services. And then over the longer term, that there would be incentives, reduced co-pays, things like that, for adopting healthy behaviors, making sure that you show up regularly for checkups, following doctor's orders, not doing unhealthy things like smoking, controlling weight, that sort of stuff. So there are also these incentives for what they're calling healthy behaviors, and the idea is that this is not just an expansion of the Medicaid program as it exists to take in more working poor people who don't have coverage, but to also make some pretty dramatic changes to the program to try and encourage people not just to get medical care, but to get medical care and be healthier as a result.
And Mr. Haveman basically sounds pretty confident for his part, at least at this point.
Well, think about it this way, that about half the states have adopted the Medicaid expansion, that the Obama administration has big targets that they have to hit if the federal health care reforms are going to succeed and if the Medicaid expansion, which is central to it, is going to succeed. As a matter of fact, yesterday, when this bill was in the Senate getting ready to go over to the House, I saw a guy who looked an awful lot like Barack Obama actually taking the legislation and walking it over. That's a joke, Mark. The administration is very the federal administration, the Obama administration, has a lot at stake in this Medicaid expansion as well. And so there's a sense that no matter how dire things may have appeared because of the looming timelines and deadlines, that they are going to be extremely cooperative in trying to get this done.
There is the issue of the delayed implementation and the federal dollars that are also in play. Can you help us understand the from 5 miles up, what are the big forces in play there?
Well, okay, well, let's start with the money that Michigan loses, that the state was counting on transferring some services that currently Michigan taxpayers pay for over to the Medicaid program and paying for it with federal dollars. That's lost money. It's about $63, $64 million. The biggest chunk of it is mental health services for prison inmates. Then there's the money that Michigan just won't get in federal Medicaid subsidies. And if you're one of those people who sort of keeps track of how much money Michigan sends to Washington versus how much we get back, Michigan is still a donor state, and that would have been an opportunity to even the score a little bit. The number that the administration has been using, although they may be walking that back a little, was $7 million a day. It's about $630 million if you add it all up over the total period of time of roughly 3 months that the enactment of the Medicaid expansion will be delayed.
Okay.
And just to explain that quickly, and that's because there's actually a process, a procedural motion that would have allowed the Medicaid program to take effect January 1st. Because that didn't happen, it has to wait until 3 months after the end of the legislative session, which puts it into, you know, probably late March.
How do the Republicans who in the end delayed the implementation, how do they explain the expansion, their support for the expansion, but not the immediate?
There's no one who supported the expansion who was opposed to the earlier enactment of it. The problem is that particular motion, it's called immediate effect. It's in the state constitution because the framers back in the early 60s wanted to make sure that new laws weren't just foisted upon people and businesses without warning. And so what they said is no law will take effect until 90 days after the end of the legislative session when they adjourn for the year. And that'll give people time to, you know, learn about it, understand it, and prepare for it. There are some circumstances where you're not going to wait that long. And so what you can do is by super majorities, two-thirds majorities, the kinds of super majorities you need to, for example, put something on the ballot, then you can suspend that and put in an earlier enactment date, in this case, January 1st. What the legislature, what the Senate failed to do was get up to that super majority. The Medicaid expansion passed by a simple majority of 20 votes. They needed a two-thirds vote to do that. So that's why it didn't pass. There's no hypocrisy in play, at least on that particular question.
Okay, good. There is also a matter of fines that we stirred up here just before we came to air. Can you put that in some perspective for us?
Sure. That people who under the Affordable Care Act, people who do not have insurance coverage will have to start paying fines. Like even in Michigan, we expect that roughly between the Medicaid expansion and people using federal subsidies and whatnot to buy coverage on the insurance exchange, we'll probably put a million more people on the rolls in Michigan. That's a significant number. The Snyder administration is still anticipating that about 200,000 people will decide that it's for whatever reasons, maybe because they think it's in their economic self-interest or whatever, will decide to pay the fines rather than get coverage. For the people and the 320,000 people in the first year who are in that pool that would be eligible for the expanded Medicaid program, they don't really have that option, but they would still be subject to the fines that exist under the Affordable Care Act for not having coverage. Hmm. They can't get it. So, you know, but there's no, you know, specific mechanism. Now, what it looks like the Obama administration, the IRS, are going to do is if people sign up during that initial sign-up period, and it'll go from I think October 1st to March 31st, people who sign up during that period, even if they don't have coverage until early spring, that we're anticipating that the IRS will simply forgive those fines, will waive them for people who sign up. So it's an issue. It's out there, but it's, you know, looking like that will get resolved, and we're not going to force working poor people to pay fines for coverage they can't get.
I'll also drop in here the current state. We'll have more on this whole sign-up procedure that launches October 1st on tomorrow's edition of the show. For now, we thank you, Rick Pluta, the Michigan Public Radio Network. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.